Aliens Audio Introduction, written by Brett Coolstock, and script edited and performed by Marissa F. Miller. This is an audio introduction for the 1986 film Aliens, the sequel to the 1979 film Alien. Aliens is an action horror film set in the future. It opens with Lieutenant Ripley drifting through space in an escape shuttle after surviving an encounter with a parasitic alien life form and a corporate conspiracy. The overall color tone of the film is gray-blue. At one point in the film, emergency lighting goes on, drenching the scenes in garish red light and washing out the other colors. Characters and cast. Lieutenant Ripley is played by Sigourney Weaver. She's a light-skinned white woman in her 30s with brown eyes and a square-shaped face with high cheekbones. Early in the film, she wears her dark curly hair shoulder length, keeping continuity from the first film, and after the inquiry scene, she wears her choppy curls shorter. She conveys tremendous strength and a don't fuck with me attitude with her steely-eyed expressions. On board the Sulaco, she wears a pale blue jumpsuit, revealing her athletic figure, and futuristic ankle-high white and gray Reebok sneakers with Velcro fasteners blazoned with scarlet highlights and outsole. On the mission, she adds an open, dark chocolate leather jacket with large front flap pockets.
I don't understand this. We have been here for 3.5 hours. Now, how many different ways do you want me to tell the same story?
Carter Burke, a junior executive of the Weyland-Yutani Company, is played by Paul Reiser. He's a white man in his early 30s with dark, blow-dried hair and a conservative style. His heart-shaped face with gray-blue eyes often exhibits a wide, innocent, or empathic expression. On Gateway Station, he wears a red tie paired with a sleek gray business suit, with the collar of the suit jacket turned up. Eventually, he sports more casual dark pants and a blue-check short-sleeved shirt under a muted orange sleeveless jacket. Burke.
I'm Burke. I'm Carter Burke. I work for the company. But don't let that fool you. I'm really an okay guy.
Rebecca Jordan, a colonist, is a young girl about 9 years old with long, straight blonde hair framing an oval face, with wide blue eyes and a cute snub nose. In the special edition, she wears a blue fleecy jacket over a white top. Later in the film, she wears a tatty green long sleeve top under corduroy overalls with a torn left shoulder strap and dark colored sneakers. Rebecca.
Timmy, you've been gone a long time.
The Marines. There are 13 Marines. All of them have short hair and are generally fit and athletic, and most of the men are clean shaven. On board the ship, the Marines wear camouflage pants in neutral gray shades and olive-green vests or t-shirts with army boots. During the mission, the Marines wear camouflage-patterned cotton shirts and pants with army boots and layer body armor over this uniform. The armor consists of a helmet, camouflage-painted shin guards and knee pads, gray leather abdominal padding, and chest, back, and shoulder plates. Over the armor, most Marines wear webbing containing ammunition and equipment. The helmets are based on a U.S. military M1 helmet, which are dome-shaped and covered in camouflage fabric. The helmets have left and right ear armor plates and armor plates at the back protecting the neck. Mounted on the right side of the helmets is a small video camera. All the Marines in the field have lamps on an adjustable armature mounted over the left shoulder. It can be detached and used as a flashlight. Most of the Marines have added personal touches to their armor or weapons, and the armor itself is scuffed and scratched, suggesting previous engagements. Lieutenant Gorman is a white man in his early 30s. He has buzz-cut brown hair, pale blue eyes set in a square face, and a prominent Adam's apple. He's officious and inflexible. His dark green long-sleeve shirt is decorated with USCM patches and a military cap. Gorman.
Ripley, you wouldn't be going in with the troops. I can guarantee your safety.
Sergeant Apone is a dark-skinned black man in his mid-40s with dark eyes and a thick pencil mustache. He's quick to smile with his whole face. He wears a wedding ring and is often holding a cigar in his hand or mouth. On board the ship, he wears camo pants and matching jacket with a USCM patch attached to a black cap. Apone.
All right, sweethearts, what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps.
Bishop appears as a quietly spoken white man in his mid-40s. He has receding brown hair and a lined face that lends him a hangdog look, but with expressive blue eyes and a sensitive countenance. He wears a blue short-sleeve shirt and dark pants throughout the film. Bishop.
I'm shocked. Was it an older model?
Corporal Farrow is the dropship pilot. She's a white woman with a pale complexion, about 5'3", and appears to be in her late 20s. She has a wide mouth and blue eyes, sometimes covered by aviator sunglasses. Her hair is short and slicked back. She wears a dark green flight suit, zippered at the front, and black fingerless gloves. Her flight helmet has "Fly the Friendly Skies" graffitied onto it. Farrow.
She's supposed to be some kind of consultant. Apparently, she saw an alien once.
Private Spunkmeyer is the dropship co-pilot, seated above and behind Corporal Farrow. He's a white man with buzz-cut dark hair, a bushy and furrowed prominent brow, stubble on his jawline and pursed lips. His dark green outfit consists of a flight jacket over a flight suit. Spunkmeyer.
What's this crap supposed to be?
Corporal Dietrich is the medic. She's a 5'7" white woman with short cropped brunette hair, emphasizing her square face and hazel eyes. She wears gray fingerless gloves and has her shirt sleeves rolled up as she carries a flame unit. Dietrich.
Not enough to have to wake up to your face, Drake.
Corporal Hicks is a white man in his early 30s with an oval face and cleft chin and short brown hair brushed back. He's generally quiet and pragmatic and doesn't seem to operate on the same adrenaline high as his squad. His armor decoration is a red heart with a padlock. Hicks.
Looks like the new lieutenant's too good to eat with the rest of us, Grunts.
Private Frost is a lean, brown-skinned black man in his late 20s. He has a narrow face with high cheekbones, dark, serious eyes, and short black hair. On the breastplate of his armor is a white heart with an arrow through it, encircling the word Heath, which is short for Heather. Frost.
Boy's definitely got a corn cob up his ass.
Private Hudson is a combat technician. He's a white man in his early 30s, about 5'11", with blue eyes and a square jaw, and dark brown hair brushed back. He sports a neat, triangular soul patch. Hudson is a loudmouth, obnoxious and sarcastic. His breastplate armor is decorated with a knife embedded in skull and crossbones motif with the words "Or Glory" written beneath on the left. On the right is the word "Louise" and a stenciled love knot. Hudson.
Hey, Vasquez.
Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
Private Vasquez is the smart gun operator for First Squad. She's a 5'2", muscular Hispanic woman in her mid-20s. She has short dark hair, dark eyes, and light brown skin. Her gaze is intense and judgmental. Unable to wear a helmet due to the smart gun sights, she wears an eye-catching red bandana tied around her head. She also wears a small Roman cross on a chain around her neck. While Vasquez's appearance, accent, and vocabulary is coded as Hispanic, the character was played by Jeanette Goldstein, who has light freckled skin, light brown eyes, and brown hair, and was required to wear makeup and contact lenses to play the role. Her smart gun has the word "Adios" stenciled in white along the side. Vasquez.
Hey, mira, who's Snow White?
Private Drake is the smart gun operator for Second Squad. He's a white man in his early 30s with receding blonde hair cut short, blonde eyebrows and lashes, and sometimes a scornful expression. He has a long scar near his left eye. In the briefing scene, he wears camouflage pattern pants and a sleeveless cotton shirt with the writing, "I've served my time in hell, CTI Epsilon 4. Unable to wear a helmet due to the smart gun sights, he wears his military cap backwards. His smart gun has the words, "My bitch," stenciled in white on the outside facing. Drake.
Hey, Hicks. Man, you look just like I feel.
Private Crow is a white man in his late 20s, with short brown hair and an oval face. His armor has "The Bird" scrawled on it. He's quiet and reserved and has one line of dialogue in the film. Crow.
You always say that, Frost. You always say I got a bad feeling about this drug. Okay.
Private Wierzbowski is a white man in his early 30s. He's a large man, heavily built, about 6 feet tall, with a pear-shaped face and 5 o'clock shadow. He has receding brown hair cut short. On the back of his armor are the words, tinned spam. Private Wierzbowski has no dialogue in the film. Significant props and equipment. Power loader. The power loader is a hulking humanoid exoskeleton about 10 feet tall, piloted by a human operator. It has the same chunky visual aesthetic as a forklift or other commercial machinery and is painted high visibility yellow with a hazard beacon on top. The loader's arms are attached to the top of the machine, making it appear headless. The machine has large claws, pincers on a sliding mechanism that it uses to pick up and carry cargo and equipment. The scale of the human operator to the machine is something like an 8-year-old being strapped to the abdomen of a tall adult. The operator is elevated about 4 feet, with stirrups supporting the feet at about shin height to the machine. The operator is not enclosed, the only forward protection being safety straps and a roll cage. A human operator puppets the machine. It walks as the human mimes walking. And roughly follows any arm movements. Fine motor control, such as opening and closing the claws, is accomplished via a sliding grip and thumb-operated joystick located on the inside of the loader's arm. While it is a powerful and versatile machine, its movements are relatively awkward and clumsy. The dropship. The dropship is built like a gunship, a forward-heavy, streamlined, and muscular aerospace vehicle that tapers to the tail. It somewhat resembles an oversized helicopter without rotors. The design is loosely based on the Apache AH-64 attack helicopter, the Huey helicopter, and the F-4 Phantom II fighter jet. During flight, weapon pods unfold from the dropship, giving it the appearance of a malevolent damselfly. Smart guns. The smart gun is a heavy machine gun that can be carried and fired by a human operator. The Steadicam was the basis for the design, a system that allows a human to maneuver a heavy film camera and keep it steady, even as the operator moves around. The weapon has a sparse, stripped-down appearance. It's nearly 4 feet long, quite thin, and is a dull black metal color. The smart gun operator wears a body harness. The weapon is held on the right, mounted on an articulated support arm, jointed in 3 places and attached to the left side of the abdomen on a mounting bracket. Similar to the stance needed to walk carefully down a steep slope, the smart gun operators walk with their left foot leading and right foot back at an angle for stability. The weapon is held at 2 points. The right arm stretches back and holds the rear firing trigger of the weapon, an assembly that resembles a motorcycle grip and brake. The left hand holds the forward grip and firing trigger, perpendicular to the body of the weapon. In this way, the weapon can be steered, sweeping around in a wide arc, or drawn up vertically close to the operator to allow maneuvering in confined spaces. When fired, the smart gun emits a massive, strobing orange muzzle flare. To get an idea of the movement, try the following steps. 1. Stand upright, feet apart. Now put your left foot forward and turn your right foot out about 45 degrees. 2. Imagine you have a broom with a small handle sticking out about 2/3 of the way down its length. 3. Hold your left hand out, not quite straight, lowered to hip level, and then across to the right. This hand is holding the small handle. 4. Hold your right hand back with a straight arm, level with your left hand, as if you are grasping the top of the broom handle. 5. Now, keeping your hands in the same position, step forward with your right foot, then advance with your left. Try several smooth steps in this way and you'll get a sense of the movement. 6. With your arms, try a sweeping motion, right to left or vice versa, keeping your hands at the same relative distance from each other along your imaginary gun. 7. Lastly, move your left hand up and in towards yourself, and your right hand down. This mimics the movement of the operator drawing the weapon up and close to themselves to get through confined space. The motion tracker. The motion tracker is a bulky handheld device. It roughly approximates the shape of a handheld jigsaw or orbital sander, being a molded handle with a large body. Attached on the side is a small boxy screen, about 2 inches square. It shows a circle segment of about 180 degrees, showing its range and field of view, and when operating, a radial line pulses from the center, sweeping outwards. Any movement is signaled with a whistling sound and is shown on screen as a white blob. There is a readout at the bottom showing the distance. Alien organisms. The alien creatures from the original film Alien were designed by Swiss surrealist Hans Rudi Giger. His art style is described as biomechanical, a fusion of biological forms with industrial elements. His paintings are often disturbing and sexual in nature, depicting gloomy, inhuman cities formed from alien machines, bone shapes, sex organs, and slimy coils that could equally be worms or electrical conduits. The Aliens production team made adjustments and refinements to Giger's designs, but they are recognizably the same creatures. The eggs. The alien eggs are ovoid, about 3 feet tall, and are anchored to the floor at their base, so they stand upright. They're a dark brown color with a rough, leathery texture. Across the top, there is a ghastly, cross-shaped seam. When a host approaches, the cross splits into 4 petals that open and peel back. Inside is a heaving mass of organic viscera and the facehugger parasite. The facehuggers. If you make a spider out of your hands by linking your thumbs and stretching out your fingers, that would give a good sense of the creature. They are skeletal in appearance, with 8 very long, gangly appendages. At the base of the creature are 2 flat, oval bladders for feeding oxygen to a victim. And the creature ends in a soft, segmented tail, twice as long again as its body. It has no eyes or other obvious sense organs. The chestbursters. Chestbursters resemble embryonic versions of the adult aliens. They are long and worm-like, perhaps about the thickness of a circle made with the thumbs and forefingers of your hands. They are blunt-headed and eyeless, but their jaws are lined with a set of tiny sharp teeth. Unlike the creature from the first film, they have thin, spindly arms. The adult aliens. The adult aliens are biomechanoids, slender and elegant, like humanoid insects, constructed from glistening wet pipes and ridged tubes, machine parts and bones, but in a way that seems organic and natural. The alien has no eyes. It has a ribbed, ithyphallic cranium that sweeps backwards from its skull-like face. Its powerful jaw is muscled with gristle-like cords. It has large metallic teeth, with incisors at the front, bracketed by sharp fangs. As the creature opens its jaws, globs and strings of lubricating mucus drip out. Inside its mouth, instead of a tongue, is a secondary set of inner jaws with smaller teeth. These can punch forward with great force and speed to bite into prey. The alien has an external ribcage, giving it a macabre skeletal appearance, and a thick hoop of biomechanical tubing snakes from the ribs over each shoulder and into the creature's back. Extending from each side of the exposed vertebrae are 4 tubes, about 2 feet long, slightly curved halfway. These odd protuberances give the alien a strange silhouette unlike any Earth animal. The vertebrae of the back extend to become a long, powerful tail. The creatures move swiftly with insect-like bursts of motion. Aliens is copyright 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, all rights reserved. This audio introduction script is copyright Brett Coolstock and Marissa F. Miller and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 international license. Find Brett and Marissa at their respective websites and link to social media from there. brett.coolstock.id.au brett.coolstock.id.au marissafmiller.com marissafmiller.com